This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. The other day, I sat down to play a video game with a guy. But not any guy, Ken Levine.
So all you got to do is hit A for new game, and yes.
Which, if you know about video games, is really a name to reckon with. As a young man, Levine wrote a couple of plays and tried his hand at screenwriting, but it was only when he took a job in video gaming that he found his calling. His 2007 game, BioShock, turned the first-person shooter into something more like art. Critics called it great, maybe the best game ever. And now, he's got a new game. Like the first title in the series, BioShock Infinite begins at sea. We're rowing toward a lighthouse.
Excuse me, it's Booker DeWitt. I guess you're expecting me?
Up inside the lighthouse, there's no one but a dead guy.
He has a sign on him that says, "Don't disappoint us." So it seems that the Booker's employers are pretty serious about this mission.
Uh-huh. You do creepy well. You do complicatedly creepy very well.
That's what the ladies tell me. There's another flight of stairs up there, if you turn to the left.
As I wind up the stairs, I find lots of clues about who I am and what I'm doing here. It's 1912. I'm a former Pinkerton detective, and I'm on a mission to save a young woman. But by the time I get to the top of the lighthouse for the first time, I'm not really thinking about plot. Now, what I like about games is playing them is fine. I just love when it's such a fantastic vista as this. Here you are standing on the top of the lighthouse with the light of the lighthouse flashing on this wet wrought iron, and in the distance, like a constable painting of the shore with some dim lights. It's just gorgeous.
Well, Kurt, you know, I think the reason I like this art form so much is because you could see a painting, you could see a movie of a similar scene, but you never get to find anything on your own. Like a movie, the camera's pointed in a certain direction, but here, you know, given your background and your interest, you'll stop and you'll stare at it.
Well, again, that what you've just said is true of all ambitious art, which is it's coded for different audiences and readers and viewers depending on what they're into in the particular thing.
Exactly.
Is there anywhere else in this universe that we should jump to take a look at?
Yeah, go to that chair. So this clearly isn't a regular lighthouse.
No, and suddenly I'm being encased in what could be a time machine, some traveling apparatus. Oh, I see. Lighthouse. It's a silo.
It appears to be a lighthouse. It's actually a rocket ship. And you go up.
Now I'm watching. I'm going through the clouds. This is a beautiful, beautiful set of effects. And now I'm in a city.
Hallelujah. City in the clouds.
Again, it's just, you know, gorgeous panoramas that I could just... And unlike a film, I suppose you could do this with a film if you thought it was beautiful and just keep rewinding it. But here you can just linger.
Yep, and you can look, you know, you can look here, you can look there. And that's one of my favorite things about it is, you know, delivering that experience.
And again, I saw a giant billboard with a sort of personality poster calling somebody the prophet.
Yep.
It is a mystery, as I guess almost, not all games are, but yours certainly are very mystery-oriented.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the challenges we have when creating this game is you want mystery. I think J.J. Abrams describes it as the mystery box, and I think of it as a balloon. Like the thing about mystery is you have to keep it floating in the air. You can't go too high, so the play people will just like give up and walk away from it. And it can't, like, hit the ground because then people lose interest. And, you know, right at the very beginning, you're sort of – all these things are being set up. What is this lighthouse? What is this mission? Who is this girl? And we had to work very hard to make sure we didn't overwhelm people with mystery or give them a feeling of, why am I here?
Now, here we're in another part of the city with beautiful dirigible going by and sort of older buildings from the 19th, 18th centuries.
Which, of course, are floating in the sky in this city.
And so far, it looks like it's like a pretty nice place.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to live here, and this seems like a decent place to live.
Yeah.
You know, families walking along, and of course, there are little small differences. Like,
and a mechanical horse-drawn cart.
So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here.
Great.
And
this, what you've created here, and you're about to show it to me, is a kind of alternate reality world where there's a sort of white supremacist group who are sort of worship the founding fathers and an anarchist socialist people fighting them?
Yeah, when you arrive at the city, it's very much in control of this group, we call themselves the founders, who have sort of created a political and religious structure around their view of the world. And then they're the haves in the city and there's the have-nots in the city. And as you play the character in this game, Booker DeWitt, you and this woman you go through the experience with, Elizabeth, are at the center of the building conflict between these two factions. And the conflict explodes as you go through the game.
So let's play, or at least do my feeble impersonation of playing.
The part, I mean, you sort of experience this, you know, this sort of idyllic world. And it's, you know, beautiful. And the player's really getting a feeling of, wow, this is kind of a really great place. And then we shift gears a little bit. Let's see, load chapter. I'm loading a later part of the game. Hold on. My vision of what it used to be.
So, in short, this is what happened. So I am now fighting and killing the police who are trying to capture me.
Yep.
Now it's a more familiar video game sequence where I'm bloodily discoring the police.
Yeah. So you know it is a game that appeals to both people who are really interested in the story and the politics and everything, but
and
also
people who want to fight and kill.
Yep.
And then,
oop,
I died. It looks fantastic. You started out, I read, as a kid, as a teenager, and then in college, you were a theater guy. You were going to write plays.
Yeah.
And where are your games? I'm not saying this. The world is saying that they are the state of the art and all that. But where are we, if we can compare it to the development of movies? Are we in 1930?
Oh boy, it's not Birth of a Nation, but it's not Casablanca either. You know, it's somewhere in the middle.
Now, obviously, Moore's law is helping you, that you can do more and more powerful things with memory more cheaply for a price. Is the technology still improving and helping you, or is it now just on you to be more clever about narrative?
It's mostly a function now of, look, Kurt, I'll be honest, games are an odd thing, right? Because they're this mix of narrative and skill test, you know, and that's one of the challenges we have.
Which is a weird thing to bring together.
Yeah, yeah. Like why is this game?
So it's like an amusement park shooting gallery and a novel.
Right. And why do those things necessarily combine? And so it is an odd form to be working in, but that's, I think, part of the reason why it's early is we still have to figure out how to really merge those two, or do you move away from the skill side, you know, or is there something else that can take its place instead of, you know, shooting or something like that? But there's always some kind of skill test in a game, whether it's a puzzle, you know, and that gets awkward too. You know, you're walking around the world and all of a sudden there's a goofy puzzle in front of you, which feels unrealistic.
And is that development and those breakthroughs, is it your hunch that they're going to come through some technological means or some intellectual?
It's not a technology problem. It's an intellectual problem. And some of it is daunting, to be honest with you.
And Levine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
BioShock Infinite will be released this month.
That was fun. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Afraid of darkness, so she said, I guess I'll go. Boy began to sigh,
looked up at the sky,
told the moon his little tale of woe.